up, y'all? What's going on, brother?
Dream Champs Radio, what's up, y'all?
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hang, Sangria, this your boy, N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players in music and sports.
You know what I mean?
The most professional, unprofessional podcast.
This is Drinks Champ Radio, where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
Yo, what it good be, hopefully what it should be. It's your boy N-A-N-A-O-N-A-R-R-E. Whatever, I don't even know how to spell it in Spanish. N-O-R-E, what's going on?
What up, it's Crazy Hood, DJ EFN and the motherfucker.
And this is a Drink Champ Special Edition episode. Make some fucking noise! Right now, you know, this is a family episode. You know, we do this. We bring our close friends, our people around, repeating, being on the show again. Mr. Lee was a part of the first family episodes going down.
Know.
And we also got, you know what I mean, a legendary New York City icon.
Straight on.
You know, one of the first people and still that have property in Wynwood. You understand what I'm saying? Family is thick like that. We got Thurston Howard in the motherfucking
building. Make some noise!
What's good, man?
So, Thurston, how were you originally from? Brooklyn, right?
I'm from Brownsville.
Brownsville,
baby.
Damn.
Brownsville. It's
Brownsville.
Different from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So when you're from Brownsville.
Man, so you don't call it Brooklyn?
Yeah, no, people.
You call it Brooklyn, but the rest of the Brooklyn don't come to Brownsville. Mm. That's how Brownsville is, like, if you ain't know. Brownsville was Overtown in Miami, like that.
Okay.
So, you know, you saw Empire. Shorty was from Brownsville. You know what I mean?
And you equal parts Wynwood, too.
Of course, my family's here.
I think you're the longest, like, the oldest Wynwood resident at this point right now. Your Graham's crib is legendary.
Yeah, you already know. We right in the smack in the middle of everything right now. They knocking on the door every day, making offers, but you know, we grounded, man. My whole family's here. That's the main reason I'm here, because my family is super, super deep in Miami and Wynwood and all that.
Okay, let's make some noise for that, goddamn.
Yeah.
And we also got Drunk Twin, Carol Cool Twin. Come on, come say what's up to them. Say what's up to them.
What's going on, peoples? How you doing? It's Twin. You already know DC Twin on Instagram. Born Twin, born to win.
Trying to sound sexy? Mm.
Now, Twin, there's a rumor that Snoop said, Snoop came to you during last episode, and he came to you and he said, you are going to be somebody. Is this true?
I don't know if I was
He said you're going to beat somebody?
Wait.
You're going to beat somebody.
Did somebody witness this, or this is just Twin's story?
He's making shit up.
I saw him pass him the blunt.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
Wait,
shit. It's Snoop's world, my brother.
What did he say? He was going to beat somebody, or he was going to beat somebody?
No, he's going to beat somebody.
That you're going to beat up somebody?
No, like beat.
Why would he tell you that?
Nah, I mean, because I feel like Sean brought up the fight. He's like, yo, Twinkie went to Vegas with $80. So this nigga looked at me like, yo, this nigga made it happen or some shit. I don't know.
He just looked at me.
He's like, yo, he just passed me the blunt. And it was a moment for me, man, because I saw this man on TV. So it's crazy. It's like dreams turning into reality. You know what I'm saying?
For the world that's just listening and couldn't understand this young nigga language, he just said he went to Vegas for 3 days with $80. And he's here to survive the story because... He made it. God damn it. Make some noise.
Yes.
I got laid for free.
And you got laid for free. He went to Vegas for $80.
You didn't want to do that.
We stayed out there 3 days. How many days we stayed out there? 3 days?
3 days. 3 days.
3 days? So how did you eat besides eating pussy? How did you eat, Twin?
That's cool. If it wasn't for my cousin Mike, man, I don't know what the fuck I would have done.
Oh, y'all was eating pussy together? You and your cousin Mike? What happened?
I was not involved.
We got boxes coming up.
By the way, we at Hazardous Sound Studio. What's the name of your studio, Hazardous Sounds?
Hazmat Studio.
So Thurston Howard, man. How the hell did this polo regain? First off, low lives. Let's get into that.
The legendary low lives.
Well, you already know, man.
And the infamous low lives as well.
Right. Well, it's all the same, man. Poor motherfuckers, nothing. Right. Nobody giving you shit. Mm. Everybody, moms and pops, is on drugs. We all live in the projects. Mm. And, you know, for me, it's like when you from Brooklyn and Brownsville and all that, niggas rank. You know, like, you know what ranking is, right? Niggas tell jokes.
Right.
Motherfuckers got fly because they got tired of being ranked on. Like, I'm a ranking ass nigga. That's how my battle raps and punchlines and all that come together from ranking. So that's how low lives was born. Niggas ain't want to hear that shit. You ain't going to come in my crib, laugh at my crib, laugh at what I got on.
Right.
My mans was the same way. You know, that's how a lot of shit got built, because the jokes was really the truth.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's real shit. You're one of the founding members?
One of the founding members. I'm the originator of the name. I'm one of the enforcers. Yes, wow. I'm the originator of the name Low Life.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I was the first person to be called the Low Life and say, yeah, we low lives. We wear low every day. That's what we do. And I'm the nigga who helped enforce money, hoes, and clothes and taking it. Nigga, you supposed to take it. Like, fuck all that. You buying your shit and all that. Niggas wasn't trying to hear that. When you bought your shit, niggas laughed at you. Cause niggas was taking it, man. And this some Brownsville shit. It's not a game. It's not a joke.
What year y'all started?
Low Life's formed in 1988, but our history was way before 1988. We was doing this since like 1983 and stuff like that before we got together in 88. Like I said, we all came from graffiti writers and breakdancers and all that. So even in graffiti, we stole 300 cans of spray paint when we hit the layup.
Did it start as a boosting crew?
No, it started as a bunch of poor motherfuckers who stole. I never called myself a booster. I'm a thief.
Let's make some noise for thieves. Yeah.
Not only that, I went with all the boosters, and I'm the first nigga. You know, you gonna give me some free items because I'm gonna keep everybody off your back. You know what I mean? It was way more than boosting, man. It was about just it was griminess all together, man.
Did Low Lives come before the Decepticons and the Autobots?
We came about the same time because we all came from the same places. You know, and we all was family. Decepts is my family. I grew up with the Decepts. A lot of Decepts was in my projects with me. Sean P hung out with me.
Price,
before
right?
we became Low Lifes and Decepts and
rest
all
in
that,
peace,
like,
Sean Price.
Yeah, you know that was our, always peace, our family. Peace. A lot of people thought like we were rivals and shit like that. That's bullshit. We used to get money together. We used to do grime together and all that. But a lot of the Low Lifes and Decepts who had conflict were motherfuckers who were the little dudes and people who they know, the founders and all that, the motherfuckers riding the trains. Because you know how the subway system is in New York. It's a whole nother world.
That's right.
If you ride the subway, you're going to run into everybody from all over New York.
Like the Warriors and shit.
Yes, it was exactly like the motherfucking Warriors. And that's where you saw how you was built. Because niggas was going to test you from everywhere. Especially fucking with them Brooklyn trains. That 3 train, that 8 train, them trains were serious. It's
how you
not
think about Brooklyn right now? It's totally different.
It's not totally different.
No, it's not.
They're gentrifying the shit out of it.
They're gentrifying. Yo,
even Brownsville is getting gentrified right
Get
now.
Get out of here.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yo, you know I go all the time. I stay in Brownsville. Right. I was going to the Planet Fitness in Brownsville. Mad white people in Planet Fitness in Brownsville. I'm on Pick and Ash. Mad white people. I go to Tilden Projects. I see Chinese families coming out the projects.
Right.
They even redid the entire train station.
Do you know Twin, the Caracol Twin? You know what Caracol is? It's fake lean. Come on, say
that. Oh, they got a fake lean?
I can't afford to act.
Right.
Two Chainz said it clearly. It discontinued it because higher level of artists started using this and promoting it. So, you know, like Justin Bieber or whatever.
Talk to the mic. Yeah, so, long story short.
You sound all smooth.
I can't afford act. It's a fact.
You the Dominican Billy D. Williams nigga? Come on, man. Caracol.
When you can't afford it, that's when you take it. You know what I mean?
That's it. Don't have it in the streets.
It's everywhere.
Discontinued it, like, word.
No, they ain't just because 2 Chainz got a whole bunch
of
shit.
Yeah, I never heard of no fake lean. I never drank no lean.
So, Mr. Lee, man, tell us what you got going on with Star Rock, man. What you got, man? Let me just be clear, man. Mr. Lee is he's my family. Do you follow him on Instagram?
I just started recently.
Oh, my God. He has the illest boat parties. The nigga invite me to anything else.
That's your blood family?
Hey,
your blood
family.
I knew you were a full Puerto Rican. That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean, family? I try to call people, but sometimes when you got too many girls, you want to be selfish sometimes.
That's what's up. Yo, but you got the pool parties going on. Tell the people what you got going on in Miami.
I got the pool parties. I got the excited car. The booking, if you want to book Nori, Drink Champs, Kiz, DMX.
And now Thurston Howell.
Yeah, let's make some noise.
Let me know.
No police bookings. No police bookings.
Mr. Lee is a money man.
I'm a hustler, baby. You know, that's what we do.
And you're the Star Rock Clothing. Shout that out.
I got the Star Rock Clothing, too. The StarRockClothing.com. You know, you can find those specialitos. Regalitos. You know what I mean?
This is Drink Champs, motherfucker. Now, you know we got to ask every question this, everybody this question. Do you need ass, Thurston?
I heard this show. You know what? Let me tell you.
Listen, 50 asked everybody before we asked
him. I'm gonna be real, like
50 took ass eating.
I don't really be eating no ass. I don't be really eating no pussy. But I'm a master when it has to go down. Right. Know what I mean? So
you, you still gotta eat some pussy sometimes.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
I'm a master when it comes. Right now, like I did whatever I had to do on my come up, but then I stopped. Cause if you don't deserve it, you don't deserve it. If you don't do nothing to impress me, I ain't got to impress you. Cause I get busy slinging alone.
Let me tell you something. My grandfather, he never had the birds and the bees conversation with me. The first conversation my grandfather had with me, he's like, "Hey, Bobby, how you doing? You grown? Huh? You eating pussy yet?" I'm like, "Well, I'm 14. Like, what? Like, it's my grandfather. Like, it's a Puerto Rican.
That's a Puerto Rican,
that's a Puerto Rican tradition. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, so, I'm gonna tell you some crazy shit. When I first ate pussy, right?
Let's get it. Hold on.
I'm gonna be real. This is real shit. You know, I did biz early, like, you know, early in the game and all that. Uh-huh. And every time I went to jail, niggas in jail will gas me up about something else. Right, so okay. I remember I did a bit at 16. When I went home, niggas had me gassed about eating pussy. Nah, Rikers Island, 16. Okay. Spofford is when you before 16,
That's right.
Niggas like, "Yo, you ain't never ate, I never ate no pussy." I'm in jail with all these niggas telling me all these pussy eating stories. Yeah. And the craziest shit, right? I was in the Bing with my man from Bed-Stuy, right? So we used to be next to each other telling me, "Yo, call this bitch for me when you get on the phone." So I called a bitch. He hooked me up with a bitch from the Bing, right? The bitch name was Trife, right? It's crazy.
Trife.
This was the first
bitch I ever.
The bitch was from Bed-Stuy.
You gotta be a if she's
and
if
I ain't
if
gonna
a girl
lie.
Named Trife, she's from Brooklyn. Make some noise, please.
But yo, the first day I got home from that bitch, I ate that bitch pussy. Cause that bitch was there with me.
You a legend. Hold on. He ate a bitch pussy named Trife.
Yeah.
From Brooklyn. Make some noise.
He's still being alive.
From Bed-Stuy.
It's real. And I gotta salute my man for hooking me up with that bitch, cause I still fuck with that bitch.
I can still fuck
with that bitch to today.
That's real.
Oh, that's gangster.
So she's still alive.
Twin, let me ask you a question real quick, Twin.
Go ahead.
How many bitches named Tripe you ate day pussy as well, and you can still fuck them to this day?
And none of them named Tripe, but both of them started with an M, and you know who you are.
What?
We both started with an M, man. You know who you are, bitch. I ain't gonna shout you out. You feel me?
Big up.
Yo, all right, Michelle, you know what's good. There's a lot of Michelles, you feel me? We're in Miami, my nigga. Yo, don't worry about it. And Melissa, you know what time it is.
He's talking to that mic like it's Michelle right now.
But I popped a cherry, you know what I'm saying? So, you feel me?
At the taco spot.
Twin be fucking with high school chicks.
I just graduated.
I'm about to go somewhere for I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the taco spot. Remember that.
The taco spot.
Remember.
Let me ask you something real quick.
His chick was with, ex-chick was with somebody else.
Yeah, at the taco spot. You saw your ex-chick with another nigga, right? How did this go down? How did it feel in your inside?
I felt great.
You
looked befuddled.
You looked befuddled, brother. You looked a little jealous, too.
Let's
keep it 100%.
I didn't. Nah, word. It was dope.
Stop lying, B.
Yo, she got fat, my nigga. Word up. Like, I'm good on that, son.
Yo, her man was
niggas
standing
that, hold
down.
Hold on, niggas
like,
don't eat fat pussy now?
We ain't never speak about this on the Drink Chat before.
Niggas be eating fat pussy.
Is fat pussy hard?
No, nigga. I don't eat no fat pussy.
I ain't in a fat girl.
Niggas be eating fat pussy.
No, Eddie Giggs.
Because they fuck fat pussy.
Eddie Giggs is 300 and plus. That's all he deals with.
What's Eddie Giggs?
So, how about the other dude at the taco spot, Twin? You got beef with him.
Nah,
what happened?
I don't.
Yeah.
I have you no beef with nobody, son. He was DJ, homie knew who I was with. You
Your
know
girl
what I'm saying?
Was with
so
the DJ?
Word, yeah.
She was with
the DJ. She's not my girl, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? But she was with the homie. Homie was a DJ. He knew I was someone important, you know what
And
I mean?
He was the DJ at the taco spot.
Nah, he was
Let's
a
just
high
get
school.
This clear
nah,
right
he was a DJ.
She's
he was a high
with the DJ at the taco spot.
Nah, man. No. Her man.
He's a taco DJ.
Her man was a DJ.
Let's just give it 100%. He's the taco DJ. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
No. You want him to be the taco DJ.
He wasn't the taco DJ?
Nah, no. He was just there. They were just there, you know, family, whatever. I look back, I thought I saw a ghost, you know what I mean? Because I saw a familiar face, dog. Shorty got big, you know what I mean? I don't remember her that big, so
what's
I was like...
What's her name again?
Yo, I would never...
She gained like 5.5 pounds, and he said Shorty got
sued,
big.
My nigga, before I'm broke, I don't know.
I can't get sued. We went to Vegas for $80, brother.
Let me make this clear.
And you survived.
I went to Vegas with 200, my nigga. Hold up. And my last night. So my second day, I spent like 120 my first day, so I had 80 left. So my second day, I had $2 till I met this hooker, my nigga. And
you know what I'm saying?
And she hooked it up, my nigga.
Making your story sound much better than it sounds
in
Vegas.
No, it's true. Yo, she gave me money.
Tell you that, buddy. In Vegas, it was real.
She gave me money.
You was giving niggas that puppy eye.
He just say, you know, I met a hooker. That sound like where he spent his money. Not made no money.
She gave him the monster for free.
Oh shit.
We good? You know,
That went from 200 to 80. So.
I ain't gonna lie. It was quick. We went to the crawfish spot. I see that
CrossFit?
Nigga.
You went to CrossFit?
It was the crawfish spot. That shit was good as fuck.
Yeah, you didn't invite motherfuckers.
I know. We just went on the spare of the moment. And Karam came with us. That nigga Twitter. I kept looking at that nigga. Saying. Mike looked at him. They got each other, but I didn't see you pull out no money. It was time to build a bill. What happened, Twin? The crime reminds me to know. And Mike looking right at you, waiting for you to lie.
Yo, them fishes is mad big, son.
No, that's not what he asked.
I don't know what happened when the bill came. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I put, hold up. My cousin Mike spotted me.
Well, let me just ask
Mike
you
knows
this.
What happened.
What
Mike knows
what
happened.
What is in your mind when you're saying, I'm going to another state? And $200 could hold me down, like, for 3 days. What is in your mind?
I'm there to witness history. That's what is in my mind.
That was a great fucking answer, man. That's a great answer. I gotta leave you alone on that note, man. Follow him on Instagram. What's your shit again? Follow this. Shout it out.
DC2WIN.
You like the young girls, right? How old are you?
DC20. I'm 22, man.
22.
So if you 18 and up, fuck it.
That's
look
crazy.
At that nigga. He eat mass. Let's throw that out there.
He's like groceries, baby. It's 2016.
We established that on the last episode. Has, what's going on with you, man? We in your studio, man. You trying
new
to
new studio. Yeah. Chilling, bro.
Your new studio.
Everything's great.
Shout out to Rich Blanco, too, on the cameras.
Rich, that's right.
Big
Rich
drain Blanco. On the cameras.
Game, big drain on
Has the Hazmat Studios, you know what I'm saying? Now open for business, so make sure you holler at your boy.
Wait, say that again?
Hazmat Studios, now open for business.
Mm, how many people records you mix? How many people, you know?
Oh, man, I mix records for everybody. Mm. From Nori to Lil Wayne to Rick Ross. Mm.
Frank Sinatra.
Fucking Pusha T, Meek Mill. Macy Gray.
God damn it.
Fucking keep going. Cormega, MOP, man. Gunplay. Wow. Everybody, wow. Man.
And let me big up DJ Butch Rock too, you know what I'm saying? Held it down on Hot 97 this past Thursday that just passed, you know what I'm saying? I held it down and he was in New York and he did the live mix, you know what I'm saying? So big up DJ Butch Rock, man. I think his Instagram is ButchRock718, you know, follow the dog. And he also was on the podcast. And
DJ K&S in the house, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Rich Blanco's in the building. Who else we said? That's right, Drain. We got to pick up Drain. Drain's been taking all the pictures.
He takes amazing pictures.
Taking amazing pictures for, you know, and Rich Blanco, we're not like other podcasts where, you know, these guys go out and they hire interns. We got our same people that comes with us. This is a
yeah. We
this
put
is
all the pressure on Rich.
This is a gang. Yeah. Oh, he's top photographer and top videographer, and then the other one, Drain, is a top photographer. Did I just speak smart? Did I say
you went corporate
videographer
right now. You got
and
corporate.
Photographer? Goddamn, make some noise for me trying to make sense. Resource rule, niggas is coming up, baby.
Yo, Thirsty, you got low life gear for us? What's going on?
Yeah,
I know you got something for us.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If I wear polo from head to toe, well, could another low life come up to me and be like, "Is you low life?" Like,
niggas will ask you.
They will ask you. What would that statement be like?
I mean, first they're going to ask you, if you say, yeah, I'm low life, they're going to ask you where you get your L's from.
Like, who that mean, like, who put you down?
But it got to be classic shit. It can't just be regular.
Yo, let me tell you this crazy shit.
Right. Because do you wear mad new polo? Low-lifes.
You wear new polo?
It was mad low-lifes who never wore polo.
And you told me originally it wasn't about polo. You told me that one
time. It was about the grime, son. It was about the survival. It was about, you know, it was about the evolution of fashion. We started with everything from the sheepskins to the Adidas suits, Puma suits, Benetton, Izod.
How did you get to the polo where just y'all low-lifes?
It was the evolution. Polo was the nigga when we got there. He was becoming seasonal. I never saw a brand be seasonal where...
What you mean by that?
Seasonal where they came out every season. When it was time for summer, they had summer shit. When it was time for fall, they had fall shit. When it was time to be in the snow, they had the shit for the snow. Polo was the first brand I ever saw seasonal. That's probably why he we dominated him, because he came so much with it. Not like the other brands. You know, Adidas was coming out
and
here.
Guess
and
Guess was
there.
Hot back then, right? Guess?
Nigga, I'm rocking Guess right now.
Yeah, where you get Guess from, man?
Guess yours. Guess they got mad Guess stores out here still. Man, you just gotta seek it out. The triangle is bad. Yeah. It's back, hard body. I always dress my kids in Guess.
That was some Guess Brooklyn Albee Square Mall shit, right?
Yeah, niggas don't know. Yeah, Albee Square Mall.
I got my first fronts from Albee Square Mall.
Yeah, that's true.
They was
crazy.
Frames.
That's crazy.
My first fronts. Word is going from Albee Square Mall.
And you know what? You couldn't go on Albee Square Mall before and buy fronts, because niggas going to take them out your mouth.
I ain't going front. Nigga got robbed right in front of me. Nigga, I was a young nigga, though. Like, I was like 11. Like, niggas ain't want to rob me. So niggas thought about it, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I seen a nigga get robbed right in front of me. Albee Square Mall. Let's make some noise for that.
Yo, a lot of artists like Biz Markie, Kane, and all that.
Let me show love to my family out in Fort Greene, my family out in Farragut. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Definitely big y'all up. That's
the Lugos in Fort Greene, you know what I mean? I rocked with everybody over there. Farragut.
Wasn't the real Supreme Magnetic from there?
He hung in Fort Greene with Eric B and 50 and all that. And
the original 50
and hold up.
Right.
He was Puerto Rican. Give him some love right now.
Latinos!
Crazy, because niggas used to confuse us like crazy.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I used to get in shit because I'm him. Just like I used to get in shit because niggas thought I was Fuji when we in jail. It was like every Puerto Rican nigga that came from a black neighborhood that really represented on some live Puerto Rican shit, they all got confused for the other one from over there, because everybody thought everybody was everybody.
Everybody was Jose?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But Son was the truth. Supreme was the truth. He got involved in the music.
And he's alive still.
He's doing his thing. He's on the low, but he's doing his thing.
Well, I'm interested in his movie, man.
He's on the back of the Paid in Full album cover.
Oh, shit.
Right. He's the Puerto Rican nigga right there with all the jewels on.
Supreme
Magnetic,
this is N-O-R-E, and I've always been interested in your life story. I don't know if that's something you're interested in doing, but I would love to be behind that biopic.
Yeah, Supreme is the truth. Same like Jesus from Cyprus, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't know about Jesus.
Right.
You know, Jesus rocked with the A-Team. He rocked with Pig and Drac.
Who's
and
this?
All.
Who's Jesus? Because remember, Jesus I'm from was Miami. Like, I don't know none of
Jesus
these
was like a notorious drug dealer and all that, but he was from the A-Team. People who don't know, like, there was so many cliques back in the 80s and all that that really terrorized shit, and Cypress Hills projects and all that was another one
of
those projects.
Not to be confused
projects.
With Cypress from the West.
Right.
Not at all.
Because it was
matter
back
fact,
then. People were confused.
Yeah,
about
because
it.
Nobody ever heard of a Cypress
exactly.
in L.A. Because the Cypress from New York made so much fucking noise.
Right.
And they terrorized shit, especially in the clubs of New York City and all that.
Right.
So Jesus was, my son's name is Jesus.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because I always saw Jesus from Cyprus as a Puerto Rican. I could look up to him, respect, because he laid foundation for Puerto Ricans to be respected. So niggas know when, you know, regardless of who we dealing with, you going to respect the motherfucking Puerto Rican.
Let's make some noise for the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
God damn it. Make some noise for the Puerto Ricans, god damn it. Look at my cousin back there. That's right, baby. Carlito, come shout out to Twitter, man. Tell him you was playing when you said 15. Come on. Tell him. Straighten that shit out.
With Carlito, I fucked up when I said 15. But I do it as. It don't matter.
You fucked up.
Shout out to Graham. So the people
good. Carlito, 3-0s. Yeah, underscore, 0-4.
I knew him since his mother used to not let him come outside the house. It's a fact.
Wow.
God damn it, man.
Yeah, I was telling Nori, y'all have more in common than he knows.
Right.
And one of the things is that So when N.O. was locked up, and you went to school, right?
Yes,
when you was locked
up. Yes, sir.
And you was doing program. I don't know if you went to school. I don't remember.
I went to school like crazy in prison.
Well, okay, so you but you did the program, the MTV program, the thing that got you into MTV.
A lot of the programs that I came from after. I mean,
you had MTV in your jail?
Nah.
What jail was this?
Nah, check it out.
He's going to want to get locked up.
He was able to work at MTV through a jail program.
Niggas didn't want to deal right now. Like, what jail is that? I'm going in and get locked up.
I think this is a crazy story, man.
Yo, I mean, when I did my bids and all that, my last bid, you know, I really took advantage of all the vocational and technical programs that prison had to offer you. Mm. I was in this one facility called Ulster Facility. Mm. You know what I mean?
Not Ulster County?
Yeah, Ulster County, okay. You know, that was like the reception. Right? Yeah, that's the reception sending you up north.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I got to Ogdensburg and things like that, they had so many programs.
I don't know.
Ogdensburg was 5 minutes from Canada. You could see the bridge in Canada. So, you know what I mean? You could see Riverview Prison across the street.
Canadian squirrel.
Like, you know, I've been back and forth between both of these prisons. But the main thing is that I took advantage of the vocational and technical programs that they had there. I learned small engine repair, business repair, custodial maintenance, general business, all these things that I got certified in. Before that, I dropped out of school in junior high school in Brownsville in 275. You know what I mean? Junior high school, 275 in Brownsville when I stopped going to school. So now, coming home from all that, I got put on the work release program after like a couple of years, right? I was eligible for that. I was trying to behave and all that.
How long
that
was your bid, though, at that
My bid was like a 2 to 4, but I wound up doing the whole motherfucking 4. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
something went wrong in the middle of that.
Ain't nothing go wrong. I was doing what I had to do. But in that same sense, When I went to the work release program, which I got transferred out on the riots and shit like that. When riots will go down, they take out whoever got influence in jail, and they're going to send you all over. So a nigga went to work release. For real? All right. Because my shit was pretty clean. They just shipped me out for whatever my influence is, but I'm still clean. Y'all not catching me doing shit. So now when I get in today, I'm putting all these alternative to violence programs and all that. And this one program I was put in called the ICANN Foundation for Social Change, which was the Jim Brown program. The Jim Brown, the Football Hall of Famer, it was his program that taught all these ex-gang members and drug abusers and all on the straight on the West Coast. So I was the first class to really be put in this program, and I graduated the class while I was on work release, in the work release facility, you know what I mean? So when I graduated the class, on my graduation day, they asked me to become the facilitator and teach the class to the rest of the work release inmates, you know what I mean? And at the same time when all this was happening, I went to the parole board and got hit with 2 years. All at the same time. Man. So the fact that I had this job and all that, I was able to remain on work release for the rest of the 2 years that I had to go when I got hit. And from there, I got a job at MTV.
How do you get a job at MTV when you're through the ICANN Foundation for Social Change? Oh, they facilitated that.
They facilitated, but I participated to an extent that people were offering me things, try to help me change my life and to put me on a different path. And that shit worked.
So how do they convince MTV that you're the guy that needs to work there?
The way that they convinced MTV, where they said, listen, MTV is willing to help somebody, but you got to come work for free.
What's the opening, the job opening? What is it?
Work for free. No problem.
We have openings for work for free.
Crazy shit. I'm fresh out of jail. I'm cock diesel like a motherfucker. My first day, they take me to the MTV beach house in the Hamptons.
No, it wasn't in the Hamptons, the beach
in
house.
In the Hamptons.
It wasn't in the Jersey one?
In the Hamptons.
Okay, right,
come on, I'm telling the story. My memory is sharp as a motherfucker. In the Hamptons. Like, you know, I go someplace to meet them, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there quiet as a motherfucker. All these people coming. The first thing I knew was not to tell nobody shit about me. Shut the fuck up. Do whatever they wanted me to do. You know what I mean? But I'm in the Hamptons. First day, beach house popping. All this shit going on. All I'm trying to do is do a good job so they could ask me to come back another day. Okay. And that shit turned into 10 years.
Wow. At MTV?
At MTV.
Make some noise for that. Fresh out of
Yeah. Fresh out of jail. Wow. And the biggest thing was, I shut the fuck up. I ain't tell nobody about me. I just did what I had to do. I never wore no polo to work.
But did the crew know?
Everybody knew what I did. I'm still living in Brownsville. I'm driving the cube truck home with all the equipment. And niggas know, yo, that's my truck. Don't touch my fucking truck. Don't write on my truck. I'm letting niggas know everything. Yeah, niggas gonna bomb your truck when you come out at night. Graffiti all over that shit and all that.
And this is before that Mos Def, the whole...
Before the Lyricist Lounge shit.
No, but there was the show. What was the show?
The Lyricist Lounge show.
This was
mad years before that. Actually, when I did the Lyricist Lounge show was when I quit MTV and I started pursuing my own route and all that. And then I got picked up to do the Lyricist Lounge show, so I was brought back to MTV.
As a writer, as a producer?
As a writer and a cast member. And I seen Nori smoke 2 blunts by himself and ain't passed nothing. Nah, I'm selfish. He's calling bad people selfish.
Is that petty? That's my style when I do an interview, man. I get a special ass when I got a mic in front of me. Pause. But yeah, man, this is crazy, man. Like I said, man, we always like to get together, man. Thurston, you a legend, man.
You too.
What made you move to Miami? Like, what was the
point? I've been here all my life too, man. My father died.
My
father died in 1974.
God bless.
And when my father died, my grandparents left New York City and came to Miami. Mm. So I was able to come back and forth my entire life because of that. So the same exact house that you come to in Wynwood is where I went. I went to Robert E. Lee Junior High School here.
Robert E. Lee.
I went to Buena Vista Public School. Like, shit. I came back and forth. Yo, I fought most of the most notorious niggas from Wynwood.
IMPs.
Growing
folks.
Up and shit like that. You know what I mean? Not only that, my family is really here established.
Because that neighborhood used to be like baby Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. I lived on the same block as Roberto Clemente Park. I lived on 34th Street. Not only that, when my father died, my brother, who is the junior to my father, my grandparents took him, and he'd been here his entire life. So if you saw my brother, you think you looking at me. Me and the nigga look like twins. So everybody
guys are opposites,
like,
right?
Yeah, I'm New York. That nigga straight Miami. I'm straight New York. You know what I mean? But, yo, we look exactly the same. We look like twins.
Was there any interaction with Raw, DJ Raw? You know those dudes?
Nah, I mean, in the 90s, I was bidding the whole 90s and all that. So I wasn't back in Miami for none of that.
No Calle Ocho.
No hustle.
No, I do Calle Ocho hard right now.
Now,
nigga.
Now.
Yes.
Back then. We talking about back then.
Nah, Calle Ocho is a special thing. Calle
Ocho is
beautiful. We gotta do a Drink Champs Calle Ocho.
Nah, you gotta do that. You gotta do that.
The walking is horrible.
No, we don't walk. We don't walk.
We gotta walk on stage.
You gotta walk. Listen.
You gotta walk to
Calle Ocho.
Nah,
the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
They're gonna have a golf cart for us.
Listen, you gotta walk to the golf cart. It's some type of walking, my nigga. Oh my God. Like, people been inviting me to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I've been like, yo, my nigga.
Nah, I don't even go no more, man. Because they trap you in a circle. You can't go beyond certain blocks. So it gets corny now. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're not on the live block, you stuck, and your phone gets shut off. They block everybody's phone
now.
They
do that now. All the time.
Hard body. You can't call nobody. You can't do none of that when you're at the parade.
Damn. That's crazy.
Oh, you're talking about the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
In New York,
I'm thinking Calle
Ocho. Oh, I'm thinking Calle Ocho.
Calle Ocho is
everybody.
You know what Calle Ocho remind me of? The Labor Day Parade in New York, because it's every flag.
Why everything got to go back to New York, man?
Dude, because that's what
everybody's doing. We're Miami right here, right now.
Dominicans, y'all got a parade too, right?
Yeah, the Dominican Parade.
Yeah. Where's that at?
And the Columbia Parade in New York. That's like a block.
That's what I hear,
got
too.
Like one block.
Listen, we got Miami shit, too.
But do Cubans have a parade?
Yeah, Calle Ocho. Yeah,
nah, but that's every flag.
No, but it started with Cuba. Shout out to the Kiwanis.
Like I said, Calle Ocho remind me of Labor Day in New York City because it's every flag included. It's no specific. It's for every Caribbean person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're not stupid.
I love
Cubans.
I love Calle Ocho.
So you're sticking with it's Cuban B.
It is Cuban B.
You're sticking with that. You feel?
That's like going to Labor Day Parade and say it's Jamaican.
Mm,
It's good not. It's everything.
I have no idea.
It's West Indian.
Yeah, no, I see the Puerto Rican flag everywhere at the Labor Day parade.
Saying the inception of Gaucho started with Cubans. It's in Little Havana. It Started with Cubans. The Kiwanis Club that
you gotta
organized that are Cuban.
He's the only people who be knowing this.
I know everything Cuban. Look, he argued about Puerto Rican.
So let me ask you. Was it always just the Puerto Rican? Did they only had the Cuban flag in the beginning?
No, they never meant it that way.
All right, so
it was for Latinos in general. It was a Cuban thing.
Wait, it was a Cuban-inspired thing.
No, no. Cuban-founded thing.
Founded.
Yeah, but it's for all. Yeah.
It was Cuban, B.
We're not selfish.
Nah, that's love. Cuban, that's love, B.
I believe in all that. I believe
in being universal for the whole,
I'm very
hip-hop is
about
everybody.
My Cuban
that's
heritage.
Right, B. That's right, B. That's crazy.
Who spilled something?
Niggas fucking had shit up.
Come on. It's too early for
I
that shit.
I be loving when niggas fuck somebody else shit up.
Not only that.
Not my shit.
Thank God it's not
heated.
Twin. It was always Twin.
Hey, look. Twin is safe right now. Who did it? Paul? Was it Paul? Yeah. Yo, Paul. What's going on with your man?
Can I say some real shit, right? I remember, like I said, I'm a New York nigga.
Mm-hmm.
And man, niggas just talk about niggas doing Spanish shit and all that. Niggas say, yo, Nori, you're on the bandwagon. Yo, I heard Nori do Spanish in all his verses from the beginning of his career.
And you want me to prove
always showed, and yo, I always saluted that because I'm a proud ass Puerto Rican nigga.
Me too. But let me tell you something. I can always prove I'm Puerto Rican because if I ain't going to shoot you, I'm going to stab you. Let's make some noise. Break a bottle and make that a knife. God damn it, it's a knife. I like knives. I don't know why. It's just in me. I like that eating pussy. I'm Spanish. That's it. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't speak. I don't speak it fluent. And if I'm drunk, I ain't gonna understand it. But if I'm sober, give me a little while. It's gonna take me 5 minutes to understand your one sentence. But I'll get it.
I've seen mad Spanish rappers be ashamed to speak their language and be themselves because like they was gonna be belittled or discriminated. Like I always, from even the beginning of my career, I did it proudly. Like I must do this because from the beginning of hip hop, niggas. Was doing
we got Eddie the Ass in the building.
Shout out Antonino's Pizzeria.
That's right. I thought some pizza was gonna come through. Yeah. Goddamn.
More Puerto Ricans.
But go ahead, yo.
Not like we needed them right
now. In your opinion, you think like because I noticed a lot of rappers who are half Spanish or half, Puerto Rican or half Dominican or whatever, they don't rep it. But you think it was that was a bad thing at one point when you was a Spanish MC? Like, that's why they didn't rep it?
Not at all. Like I said, because from the beginning when hip-hop was born, there was massive MCs repping it in Spanish, and they were part of black groups, and they were doing full Spanish verses, not even Spanglish.
Give us names. Give us some names. Let's shout them out at least.
Curious motherfucking George? Nah, I'm talking about 83 and
I'm not going back to Charlie Chase. Charlie Chase. He didn't
the
say
Disco
Spanish
Dream, first. Right? There's a song called The Disco Dream, The Meme back. Machine. You never heard of Meme Machine? Well, my name is Julio, and I'm on the go.
We in school right now.
You never heard motherfucking Muy Bien Puerto Rican, the man is speaking, the man y'all seeking, Charlie Rock when it's time to get cool. Okay. I took a dive in Central Park pool. Like, it was mad niggas really doing the shit from the beginning, from
what
the
year is
intro.
What year is that?
82, 83.
Because I got a rep for Metal Man Ace. He did Mentirosa, and he rep for the Cubans. Cypress Hill Crew.
Massive respect to Mellow Man and everybody. But like, even me and Mellow had this discussion.
This is a Latino episode.
We got to rep it. You know what I mean?
You're black. All right, it's us three, man.
Well, you're Latino right now.
Listen, it's only us three, and let's be clear.
And Drain.
Yeah, that's what I said. Me, him, and Drain. So that's three.
What do you mean you? You have.
We all black. That's what I was saying. Damn, you took my joke away.
We all black, man.
So I was saying us, and but y'all only got half of me.
K&S too.
K&S, you black? K&S ain't black. You white like a motherfucker. Come on, I'm fucking with you, K&S. I forgot. I didn't see you over there.
Real shit, man.
But yeah, I mean, you know what? You know, I didn't grow up. It's crazy because sometimes I blame it on like not that I blame anything on anybody, but sometimes it's like I actually had both my moms and my father. So my mom's was black, so she played Marvin Gaye and whatever Luther Vandross and shit like that. Then my father played Hector Lavoe and Willie Colon and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, them niggas, Tito Puentes and shit like that. And I learned about So I never grew up black. I never grew up Puerto Rican. I grew up a black
the product
Rican.
Of your like parents. I grew up,
yeah, so me too. It was never like I was actually even rapping. I was just being who I was. Yeah, and I don't get me wrong. I consider myself a black person, but I also consider myself a Puerto Rican as well.
How the heck you even speak Spanish then?
Yeah, I don't care. They retarded. I'm more Spanish than them. I bet you I know how to make a totona. It's better than
that's hard.
You figure smell me? It's okay. Like I speak my Spanish comes from the heart, and that's crazy. That's like if somebody asks me, you know, why you don't wear your wedding ring? Well, my wedding ring is on my heart. Everybody know I'm married. I post my wife. I take her with me everywhere. She don't complain about it. Fuck you. We live by our own morals. You know what I'm saying? That's real shit.
That goes back to the idea we've been going through a couple episodes. We're talking about should there be a hip hop flag?
Mm. Yeah, I saw that.
Should hip hop be a race in fact?
Right. To me, hip hop is a religion
that I follow and live.
But right. going back to what he was saying as far as the Puerto Rican, I'm Puerto Rican, but I grew up black.
Right.
I grew up in Brownsville.
That's a fat Joseph.
I fought Cuban, because I was Spanish, and there was only black people around me.
Right.
The people closest to my heart are black. The culture I know more than my own is black culture because of where I lived and things like that. And I only lived wherever the closest methadone clinic was. Mm. Feel what I'm saying? And to what my family structure was and all that. Mm. So I embraced everything as a kid. I speak Spanish and all of that only because my grandmother and them are straight jibaros from Puerto Rico who don't speak no English.
Yeah, that's
and
how
every time
Spanish
my mother did a prison bid, that's who I lived with. And this is from baby ages. So I think that's where I got the language. But even being in Brownsville with all of my friends, every girlfriend, my children, everything was black. Mm. I wasn't having the access to spend. I just started coming back to Miami in the 2000s because even my family here didn't really fuck with me like that. Mm. Because I was too different, and I was Brownsville coming to Miami. I just learned how to do different and be about the positive shit and everything we doing that we've been involved in now. But our coaches and all that, to me, has always been one. I hate racism. I hate people differentiating all that shit, saying of what we're not. And that flag he's been talking about in all them episodes, that's we need that shit.
Yeah, that's what
we need that shit.
You know why I say that? Because it be times, like, you know, you go to a restaurant, you go to a hotel, and it's like, maybe you smell like weed, and like, maybe you're not going to smoke weed there, but you know, you just count the car, you smell
or
like
walk
weed.
With a certain
and
swag.
Some people will be like, you know what, sir, you know, you smell kind of crazy, can you, we don't want your kind here. And that, they don't mean a race thing, it's just like, man, I do smell like a pound. I just smoked 7 blunts, like, right in front. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to build up my appetite, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, all right, cool, I get it. Like, one time, we was in a taco spot, remember, Twin? I was so mad at this guy. I was waiting. I was about to get on a flight. So I said, let's go get a drink. And like, it was like two and a half hours. I checked in my bag and I went back to come have a couple of drinks. As soon as we walked in, I didn't realize Twin was rolling up as we walked in. So we sat down, we ordered our drinks. They was like, you got to leave. And I respected the establishment because I was like, you know what? I seen kids, I was like, Twin, you're a fucking idiot. What the fuck are you rolling up in public for, one? And then two, if you seen kids, you gotta respect that. But what I'm saying is, if that establishment, they would've took it less, anything, like I would've been with them regardless if there's any kids around, first off. But the fact is, like, when you see that flag, that establishment is supposed to permit certain things, like, you know, certain things is hip-hop and it doesn't mean disrespect. One thing I noticed about Puerto Rico in general, is in Puerto Rico, you can sniff cocaine.
Wow.
And everybody don't say nothing to you. But you light a blunt and people be like, oh my God. You know what I'm saying? Like, I tell a famous story. I tell it all the time. It's like, I was with my cousins, my family, and you know what I'm saying? They were sniffing the whole time, sniffing. And I lit a blunt. And you know, I seen them sniffing, I ain't say shit. You know what I mean? I was like, yo, no, go
you
ahead.
Kept it to yourself.
You know? Go ahead. But I rolled a blunt, I smoked. And them niggas say, oh my God, Papito, you do dragon? What the what? They asked me if I'm legit. Yo, this is weed. These niggas sniffing. Like, and that's what I'm saying. It's certain places that where weed is disrespectful to people. Right. But if you're at a hip hop establishment, this is established that I'm doing this for me, and I'm not trying to offend anybody by the smell of my wonderful Kush or haze or whatever it has to be. And then I just think this hip hop flag is necessary. I think that we should.
Yeah, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think the whole idea should revolve around if you smell like weed or not.
It's an example, but let's suppose you're drunk. Let's suppose you're fucking DJ fucking cool kid. Fuck, I'm about to say Cool Herc, but Cool Kid.
One of your past DJs.
Let's say it's about dude Cool Kid, and you're drunk, and you happen to fall over and just knock some shit down. You're at the hip-hop establishment. They know that Cool Kid didn't mean it like that.
I think that's different. I think that's different.
But I maybe it's a bad example. Man,
you got to have some control over yourself. Conduct yourself as a person.
That was a bad example.
You want them to respect hip-hop, then we got to show them how much we respect ourselves.
I think you're correct.
Like, we should have our own manners as well.
Yeah, and we should always conduct ourselves in that way.
But we shouldn't be stereotyped. That's why the flag is what you're talking
about. Right, that's what I'm saying. Because
it's like, don't stereotype us because we look or we represent a certain culture.
Yeah, but if you fall, they're going to stereotype you.
What I'm saying is
you fall like you're a drunk ass.
You fucking up. Right. Cause you know what? You representing me.
Right.
I'm representing you. Right. Anywhere I go and I do some dumb shit,
right.
Then you just as dumb as me cause you representing that same flag.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. That's true. I agree with that totally.
But I get what you're saying.
But what I'm saying
is, you walk up to the, let's say you go,
mistakes happen.
The hotel shit to me makes total sense. Right. You walk up to a hotel counter and you smell like a little weed.
Yep.
If you had the hip hop flag there,
right.
They understand. Right. You
they
good.
Understand.
That's what you do.
And they can even still tell you, you know you don't smoke in that room. All right, cool. It's not like we asking to smoke in the room. It's that when we smoke out front, don't call the police on us.
Right.
Because we down together, goddammit. You know what I'm saying? Your flag says so, my nigga. Niggas start getting the tattoo.
Shit, they got a hip hop flag.
Yeah, it's going to go down. The flag is there. It's going down.
They're going to be like Mr. Santiago and DJ EFN. Are you guys doing Drink Champs tonight in this room?
Yeah, I mean.
Let me tell you our policy.
Yeah, but for instance. We just, you got fellas, can keep the conversation down over there. For instance, the most respect I've ever seen a hotel just show us, period.
Yeah.
And I'm a heavy W Hotel advocate. I'm a heavy Starwood guy. I'm staying. No other hotels unless they Starwood or that. But we just interviewed Snoop. Snoop was an hour and a half away from us.
And I have to check the bill still.
Right, yeah, but listen. Snoop was an hour and a half away from us. We're scared to death. Y'all go to the front desk. Mr. Lee and EFN, the business guys, stepped up as business guys. Again, I was smelling like weed, so I didn't want to stay in the front there. But you guys came there. I heard the guys say to you guys, as long as you guys clean up, make sure, don't worry about it. Like, they knew we was going to smoke weed. Like, we got to big up that hotel.
But let me tell you the difference is, though, too.
Okay.
I took it upon myself to be just honest with them. I see the dudes was cool. I said, look, this is what we going to do.
Right.
I'm just telling you straight up.
You see EFN's face right now. I like DJ face. He said that one more time. What did you say to the guy again? What did you say?
Nah, I said, this is what we're going to do. Like, my thing is, like, I don't want no miscommunication with you, bro.
Right.
Like,
listen,
like, you cool right now.
Y'all know Snoop is here.
Don't be not cool later.
Right.
Like, this is what's, I'm going to tell you exactly. I'm not going to front to you like it's going to be this and that. Nah, my man, you got my credit card.
Right.
This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. What do you think? And my man was honest with me.
They brought us a table.
Yeah, brought us tables, chairs. We moved the furniture.
We made that shit into a studio.
We smoked the shit. Well, we're not going to say what we had. But. Shout out to Snoop, who sent his manager to tell us to put a fucking shower cap on the sensor. That's how you know he's a smoker.
And we smoked. And we, listen. And we smoked repeatedly. It was a 2-hour session.
Yeah.
Wow. And, but mind you, we came in and we chopped it up for 5-10 minutes and we were smoking then. And then we kept going. Yeah, please get busy.
You want some Colombian wine, man?
And we kept
I'm fucking with that.
And we kept going and so the alarm did go off. So we're going to need to pick up that hotel. What's the name of that hotel? Check your credit card charges.
Sure you want to say you don't want to get in trouble? Guys,
check your credit card.
No, let's not shout them out right
it's
now.
It's not? All right, well, anyway.
Because we don't want to get them in trouble.
It was like we had the hip-hop flag that day.
No, we did.
Like, in a sense.
Yeah, definitely.
And Snoop was
how do we go about getting that flag, though? How do we make that flag happen?
I see the logo. I see
it real, man. But that's some serious shit.
You might laugh.
That is really serious.
No, but listen.
That shit has an impact.
Y'all might laugh, but you can we can actually like submit a form right. to the United Nations for that flag. Mm. The only thing is, you might need a country.
Mm. I'm in.
America's the country.
Dusseldorf.
No, that's already a country. We might have to that take over. We might have to take over one of the keys.
Hold on, that bullshit.
We gonna get, move to Assonia, nigga. Let's do it.
But they're not like official.
Assonia.
Oh, okay. It's not well, you have a good point. The gay flag. They have a gay flag.
Yeah, and it's official.
No, but they're not an official
nobody
country.
Nobody don't deny they're
not a country, but they're recognized.
It's definitely recognized.
They're an official lifestyle.
So we just gotta raise that bitch and just go for it.
We just gotta make it.
You know who gonna help us? Somebody from a union. We need a nigga from a union.
That's what I've been. Look,
union niggas.
Havoc shut me down.
Union niggas.
Did you hear the Havoc episode, Thurston? Did you hear the Havoc?
I hear.
Havoc shut me down when we was talking about the union stuff, and I said we need to have the same type of union as the actors do, which is the what is the Actors Guild?
SAG. Yeah, Screen Actors Guild.
We could have the same thing in hip hop. I don't know why Havoc was shutting me down on that.
Nah, because he probably was trying. Somebody's probably trying to get him down in the union, and it wasn't good.
No, but we need that in hip hop. Like a SAG.
No, we do.
What do you think?
That's a fact.
That's a Russell Simmons job.
Yeah.
It's definitely not my job.
Who can really
I'm too drunk
delegate,
for that.
But to delegate that appropriately, right. to make sure that right. the standards set, the rules applied, and all that, right. to make sure everybody right. follow it yeah, and agree right. to it, because you're not going to follow shit that you don't agree to.
Right. Like Biggie and Pun's kids, they put enough work in hip hop that once they passed away, they should have automatically been something. For their children. Too. It shouldn't have been right. a record label's
but
responsibility.
But you have to buy into it. You have to apply to it.
Yes.
And whatever your work ethic is, that's what you get back.
It's
that's
just
what
like
SAG
people
is.
Buy $24 a month. They buy great health insurance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So pretty much the same thing. Like, you make it so it's not where it's breaking nobody's budget.
Exactly.
And you got your assistants got dental.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
I think maybe Dream Champs... We could start it.
I would love to start it.
I would love to start
Dream
it, but
Champs,
I'm too
we
drunk.
Cover your liver.
I'm too drunk to keep up with it, my nigga. I might be at Best Buy.
No, we cover your liver.
Shit,
your liver is good for 3 years.
Liver insurance policy.
Liver insurance.
Liver insurance.
Yo, let me tell you some crazy shit. We be laughing on some low like.
Yeah, Eddie, when the last ass you ate? Come here. Let me want to hear from you real quick, Eddie.
Be like,
what last ass you ate? Come on. Let's describe that last ass eating that you just you had, Eddie. Come on.
Had a great discussion going on.
Listen,
right
man,
now.
You look like you shaved.
Wait,
every time I know you shaved, you just ate some ass. Come on. Come on.
Eddie lost weight, so he might not be eating that much ass anymore.
Nah, he eat ass. No. That's your pickup line. Keep it real. You'd be like, how you doing, Linda? I eat ass.
Sometimes.
That's just it. Works my name is Eddie,
on,
Linda.
On nice hood rat from Hialeah. It works on Hialeah hood rat.
Okay. Yeah, you gonna throw Hialeah under the bus?
Yo, I love Hialeah. Hialeah got the hood rat.
That's the last
one. The baddest ones I've seen in Miami.
Those Hialeah chicks will whoop his ass right now for saying that.
And I love it. I love it.
It tastes like a quarter.
I told you, like penny, like coppers.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like copper.
Not like a quarter. So
yeah, like a like dirt.
Not like one like copper. The nerd, like coppers.
Like a penny.
The D battery. When you
the D battery. You sucked on the battery before. How the fuck you know what a battery tastes like?
I don't say no sucky.
You test that motherfucker with this nigga sipping on batteries, nigga.
Where's this?
Niggas was trying to suck on titties. He was sucking batteries.
No.
This nigga's crazy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper N-O-R-E and DJ EFN.
All right, Thurston, let's get serious right now. We're going all over the place right now. But you've done some crazy joints, and you did a joint with Eminem. Mm. Tell us about how that joint got made, because I'm sure there's not many people in this room. Do you guys know that he did a joint with Eminem?
I did.
At one point, I'm going to tell y'all this as a DJ. This is DJ shit, DJ nerd shit. When Thurston came on the scene, at least to where I was aware of Thurston, and Eminem came on the scene, this is pre-Dre. It was like they were like neck and neck. Like everybody felt that they were both like the new thing in hip-hop. Like, and they were in... From what I heard, you turned away a lot of deals at that time, and you just stayed selling. You were manufacturing and selling your CDs from your same project apartment. And I know this because my homie used to sell your CDs, and he told me, he's like, yo, I called the number on the CD,
And he picked it up like he just woke up.
That's still the same number right now. Same number in my pocket. Any CD, if I could pull out a CD or DVD and put it in your hands when you look at a phone number and you call it, that's the number that's in my pocket. And it's been that way since 1998.
But how did that relationship with Eminem?
Yo, what kind
develop?
Of phone company you got?
I got Sprint.
Them niggas must love
Sprint,
you.
You don't
nigga.
Know Sprint.
Them niggas, y'all niggas must be down. Nigga.
They love everybody. You got you pay your bills.
Y'all basically married, my nigga. Like,
yeah, you pay your bill, like, you married.
Been with the phone companies. Yo, if they cut you off, you got a real legitimate. Like, nigga, I've been with y'all since. Y'all was whack.
That's me and AT&T. I've had my number for like 10, 15 years.
That's crazy.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's big.
These niggas is dinosaurs in here, man. I'm trying to change my number right now. What the fuck?
So did Eminem have that number?
Yeah.
How did that relationship develop? Did y'all know each other like that when y'all made that record?
Nah, I met Eminem through Wendy Day from the Rap
Spinner,
Coalition.
Spinner made that beat, right?
Spinner made the beat, but I met Eminem through Wendy Day. Wow. Yeah. Wendy Day had created something called the Rap Olympics in 1997 to where she wanted to get all the groups in hip hop that was supposed to be so nice. She developed like an Olympics for all these groups to compete against each other and show what it is. So in the process of her doing that, she had like Fugees, Wu-Tang, everybody had teams. Wendy Day had her own team called the Rap Olympics team, Wendy Day's team, Rap Coalition. That consisted of me, Eminem, Juice from Chicago, Quest the Mad Lad, and Wordsworth.
Oh, shit.
And that's how I met Eminem. And everybody on our team was like niggas who super nice off the head. You don't got to hear one written rhyme to believe the niggas the truth. And every single person on the team was like that. And Wendy put us together. I never heard of all these people before. I heard of Words and all that because, you know, doing the underground seat in New York. But the day I did the joint with M, right, the joint was called Watch These.
Y'all were in the studio together?
We was in the studio together. He was broke. He was walking through Bed-Stuy.
This is pre-Shady, pre-all that.
Wait, hold on. So Eminem walked through Bed-Stuy?
Eminem used to come to Brownsville and chill with my projects with me.
With
Paul Rosenberg. And freestyle all night. And Paul Rosenberg freestyle.
Because he was a lawyer to all the underground artists.
Yeah, he was my lawyer at the same time.
Scam too.
But Paul used to freestyle with us. We freestyle till 5, 6 in the morning. Me and Eminem never talked. We rhymed. Everything was a conversation and rhyme. And Paul would interact in rhyme form anytime he spoke.
Because he rhymed originally. Paul was
I never knew that.
Yeah, he was a rapper. He said that before.
Wow, I didn't know that.
M used to come to Brownsville. He'd hang all night. He'd chill all night, and he wasn't scared. Wow. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I respected
Detroit. He came from some crazy
shit. So Brownsville's still a whole
number. So, in other
world,
words,
man.
In case people was getting it twisted, Eminem is an official nigga. Let's make some noise. God damn it. We inducted Justin, what's the nigga
Justin
name?
Bieber.
Wow.
And now we are officially inducting Eminem on the Dream Champs.
No, we gotta hold back.
Into Diggerdome.
Justin doesn't get an official endorsement until he comes here and drinks 3 shots of Agua Diente, 2 shots of Bacardi. Like, what do you want him to drink?
I don't give a fuck.
You gotta drink all that shit.
Tiger Bone, that's a fact. Yeah. But we co-signed Eminem.
M is the truth, son.
Cause this nigga's from down the block and won't go to Brownsville.
He's the truth,
that's a fact.
Son. He come to Brownsville and he just wanna rhyme.
With a skateboard.
That's why I respect everybody who lit his shit. You just wanna rhyme. Like, nobody's worried about nothing because they just come to do this crap and live and represent that flag that we keep talking about.
Doing a joint with him early in the career, did you ever see where he's at now? Like, you did you see that as the future?
I believed he was the truth.
But you thought he's going to be as big as he became?
I think none of us thought what was to come. Mm. You know what I mean? And we all had the speculations of, yo, don't forget me. Don't forget me.
Did he forget you?
I wouldn't say that.
Everybody, but go ahead.
I'm saying, have you ever been able to reach out, or do you want to even reach out?
You know
what?
Anytime I was in the same circumference or environment where he was, he showed me the love to show me that, you know, my friend and this.
I ain't forget.
I ain't forget because we inspired each other. I believe we all, as artists too. Like, when you're a great artist, you're going to inspire the next artist. That's what makes us all greater. So he knows as a true hip-hop artist, what he saw here, just like what I saw there, and like what everybody on the team, even why Wendy saw to put us together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I'm not going to lie. I think that he needs to come now, and you guys need to do part two of that record. With DJ Spinner producing it
again. Let me tell you the crazy part.
And
you and remember doing the joint.
Because that record is crazy, by the way.
Spinner played me the beat. I know Spinner for a while, too. Yeah. You know, I live in Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklyn.
That's Scam's cousin or something, right? Is it? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Anyway, when I was working at MTV, like the story I told my partner who I worked at every day with MTV was Spinner's fucking roommate. Mm. You know what I mean? So I kind of met Spinner through Amir Grice, who was my partner who I worked with in MTV in production. So I would go to his crib and shit. I'll try, let me get a beat, son. Nobody wanted to give me a beat back then. Anyway, when shit start popping, this is 1999, the raucous stuff is happening. Everybody's getting the buzz. The underground is really emerging to have an existence because on some real hip-hop shit, I believe the underground carried it for all these years that why it still exists. Because when it died in commercial, the underground is the reason that true, classical, real hip-hop, what everybody said, that's why it exists, because how it was carried from the underground on. So 99 brought that point. It also brought the point of the super MC, when niggas was super lyrical with a cape on their motherfucking back and all that. You know what I mean? So when we did that joint that day in the crib, right, Spin played the beat and all that, I laid my verse first. We all came with verses ready. This is real shit, though. When I laid my verse first, M spit his verse, and then he changed it, and he wrote it differently on the spot. Wrote the shit on the spot, but he changed his entire verse after I laid my verse, after he laid, and that's truth. You know, he won't deny that. He's a real artist. I won't say, oh, my shit was better where he had.
Did he tell you? He was like, I'm going to write my shit.
Listen, I've been in the studio with artists to where when they lay something and it really makes the track excellent, I'll follow their format. There's nothing wrong with that. So if I set a tone, he felt as a true MC and all that, change what he was originally coming in because a tone is set. Follow the tone. And he did exactly that. You know what I mean? And put it to the pace of what the song is supposed to be for what it is. Right? It's a big classic for me. You know what I mean? In my life and career.
And you got that on iTunes now?
It's on everything.
Came out through Raucous, right?
Came out through Raucous. It came out on my Skill Against Island album. It came out on every mixtape I did. It just love. Like, no, this is a monumental song. And he on the remix. But the song was called Watch These.
Watch These. So how was it like being on Raucous?
I never took the deal from Raucous.
Oh, what?
This
guy dodged mad deals.
Nah, I ain't gonna say I never dodged nothing, man. I was eager, very eager. My name was Thurston. I was hungry for anything you gonna throw at me, but nothing was right.
But you wanted to own it. It seemed like that.
Not even. I didn't even know what ownership was. I had Wendy Day representing me, teaching me. Through this whole process, Wendy was guiding me a lot. All my deals that were coming, Wendy.
How did you meet Wendy?
I met Wendy rapping on the street. She heard me rapping on the street, battling niggas, and she like, oh, you need to come to my events that she do. She used to do something called just freestyle ciphers at the Musicians Union on 48th Street, like in New York City. And it was something that brought a lot of rappers together to come and test your motherfucking sword, see how good you was with it, you know? Yo, my first deal I got from LL Cool J. Nigga heard about some of my battles I was doing, destroying niggas, and they put my phone number in the article, and he called me. And he rhymed with me all night for like 10 hours. When he called me 3 o'clock in the morning, he rapped on the phone till like 10 the next day. Rhyming. We rhyming back to back. Going at it. First, when he called, you know, it's on the beeper. These are the beeper days. So he's on the beeper, and my girl was like, who the fuck beeping you 3 o'clock in the morning from California? And, you know, I'm working for MTV, so I get a lot of work coming from California. Let me answer this shit. And he said, yo, this is LL. Yo, stop playing with me, son. I'm sleeping. You know what I mean? What's good? Yo, this is LL. It was LL for real. He want to rhyme, son. Yo,
he just called
I read the article, checked it out. I want you to hear this. Nigga was spitting rhymes. We going back to back all day. The next day, a messenger came to my house and presented me with a deal.
Wow.
And gave me a deal.
That's hard.
You know what I mean? And the first
Claudine thing Joseph, you know we need LL on here.
Yeah.
I've been hearing you, girl.
Yeah, LL was good.
Go ahead. All right.
And the first thing I did was give it to Wendy. You know what I mean? Every deal I ever got in the beginning, I gave everything to Wendy, and she handled everything for me.
And she said no?
Wendy said, if you're going to take this deal, I can't do it for you.
So she said no.
But so you never technically was on a record label at all?
Never. No. Wow. I was always Skillionaire.
Now, you think that was a plus or that was... It got to be a little bit of both, a plus and a minus.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it was more of a plus because with my hunger and the amount of quantity and quality of work that I was coming with, they would have never let me do as much as I've done. You know what I mean? I did. I released over 30 CDs alone.
Right.
Mix, master, produce, everything. A lot of this I'm very self-sufficient. I could do by myself.
And movies, too.
Movie, yeah. I ain't even meant. I'm talking. It's crazy to that extent. Movie. Even the influences we have had on the hip hop culture as a whole. You know what I mean? So it's like, and it's not like I never wanted to be in control of this shit. I just love it. You can't tell me how to stop, move, go this way. I'm not doing nothing you want me to do. I'm gonna rhyme. I'm a little shit and do it to the fullest.
So wait. So if we fast forward now. Recently, you did the film that Nas was a part of.
The Fresh Dress. Fresh Dress.
You saw that?
Yeah, actually, no, I didn't. No, I didn't see it, but I went to the after party where they was playing.
Sasha Jenkins
was the director. Mass Appeal.
I got to meet him at South by Southwest. Shout out to him.
I mean, it was just basically based on the history of hip hop fashion, and it spoke from every aspect of what hip hop fashion came from. You know what I mean? And the transitions that developed and all that. So. It was a big, but the movie really showcased a lot of what Low Life brought to the table. Right. Not just me, myself, you know what I mean? I come from a whole
the
team
movement.
Of people that, you know, there's something we all started together. And the influence in what it has become in hip-hop to what hip-hop is today is now where we really
being
acknowledged.
Yeah, but how about that song? It's running by my low life. Y'all stepped to him yet? Come on, how do y'all feel about that, man? My man's face went down. Come on, how does the real
Lola,
who sings that?
That's Weekend. The Weekend.
The Weekend sings that? Oh yeah, Weekend. You're gonna run down on the Weekend?
We do what we do. You know what I mean? We at the point where
do he know about the No Lies or you all know?
I think everybody know by now. As far as hip hop culture, it's really documented now to where nobody discredits it no more. You know what I mean?
About my low life.
Yeah.
Damn, Sly Weekend, you gotta pay a check.
Nah, he needs you on the remix. How old is that song?
Pay a check, man.
How old is that song?
We gonna do us regardless, son.
But it made me think of that. I was like, damn, you know what I mean?
Mad people had low life songs.
Nah, mad people listen to the podcast. You on the remix.
Mad people had low life songs.
You on the remix.
Yo, what? It's all good. I took Mad a Weekend shit too and flipped it, so.
There you go. He's on your remix too. Yeah. We flip it.
Now, you know Trash, right?
Of course I know Trash. Trash is a good dude, man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I fucks with Trash. I more fuck with Trash through, you know, knowing him through the music. I'm a fan first of everybody.
You knew him as Trash or Intelligent Hoodlum?
I mean, I knew Trash would wake up in the morning and stereo gone. You know about that? You know, that's 85. People didn't know
he was a kid, right?
He was a little kid. If you hear that song, it ain't even him. To what Trash became. Trash, I could say, is one of the most artists that I've seen been past and present with no problem.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Skill
He's
level.
For sure.
Break periods, pauses, and all that still come cut your head off with the same shit, and he still do what he do and be him. And that's real, you know, as far as being a person and really living this shit. And especially for what hip-hop is, skill matters to me first, son. His skill level never diminishes throughout the process of whatever he's doing. From that time to this time.
It's big up Trash, goddammit.
Yeah, yeah. Trash know what it is, you know what I mean?
Am I right that on the clothing line that you got, you're working with Willie Esco?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Willie Esco put the brand together.
That's crazy how everything comes around
Willie
again.
Esco.
Willie know what he's doing right now. You got to see the fall season shit coming. We got gooses and all that now for New York.
They
got to
need some gear, man.
I got you.
He got.
But hold on,
I need
to ask this question. So now, Twin, you've been around a long time. You see his dedication when he said to the music. I got a 2-part question for you. One, do you have that dedication when it comes to ass eating?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Let's make some noise there, baby. Eddie's taking
his focus.
He's like, I am the ass eater.
We're about to have a battle.
What are you talking about? Eddie, have you figured out what you want to be when you grow up?
I don't think he's going to grow up.
I'm just riding the wave, man.
Just riding the wave.
I don't know what that means.
That means he'll
he's
be
wavy. He's wavy.
He'll be in. He'll be the guys on the highway, like with the orange. That's not.
Oh, he's gonna
guys on the highway with the orange shit on, and they be waving like they like it's an airplane. Dumb nigga.
Takes you to the beeper.
You gotta figure out who you want to be, man. Come on. Who you want to be? What you want to be at the end of life? Didn't you want to rap at some point? You could kick me a rap. I told you.
Oh, never. If you rap, you need to rhyme.
I told
right
you
now.
Never do that again.
Yeah. That's it. If you rap, you need to rhyme right the fuck now.
We'll tell you.
So you don't know. What
tell
you
us your
be.
Best verse. You got Thurston Howell. You got N.O.R.E. You need to rhyme right now.
Twin, you don't know what you want to be.
For real?
Like, now, spit your verse.
Listen, you could be like Eddie. Eddie living in his parents' crib.
But Eddie got a verse, though.
To this day. Eddie, come on.
Nah, he ain't spitting
ass. He ain't mad ass, though. He's living his life. No rent. He ass. Doesn't matter. Let's go. Come on. You could be like
Eddie.
You got
a verse? No, seriously.
You want to be like Eddie. Just say I want
to
be like Eddie.
Bro, it's your time to shine, bro. Spit your verse. It's now or never.
Sometimes I got rhymes in my head, but I don't
spit no verse. Don't let him
in. But like I said, I got dreams. You know what I mean? And I'm chasing my dreams.
Talk to him, Twin.
You think the verse is the bad thing about
my dreams, man?
And
your inspiration.
I love hip hop. I love hip hop. I've been watching MTV since I was 9 years old.
That nigga worked at MTV.
You know what I mean? I was watching Noriega on MTV, and now Noriega is one of my best friends.
That's right, baby.
So shit is crazy how.
But you don't know what you want.
I don't know. Yeah, man. You know what I mean? I'm just.
He's just living.
Putting all this energy, I'm living to the universe. I'm a positive nigga, you know what
you
mean?
Ever seen Next Friday? There's a pimp and then there's assistant pimp. I think you should apply for an assistant pimp job. Let's make some noise to that guy there. I pour a soda on you and you just slap the bitch. Eddie, come over here, man. Tell us how it is living in your parents' crib.
I ain't never seen a basement in Miami.
Deep in an aquifer.
No, but don't blame that. I'm living in your parents' on East Elmhurst.
East Elmhurst.
You are. That's some Miami shit right there. That's some kid do shit right there. How you doing, man? Yo, do your moms let bitches come over? Like, you sure? So you eat ass.
They even cook for them. She cooks for them.
You eat their ass. Mom's in the next room, and then she cook for them. Let's make some noise for your mom.
It's on the West Wing, though.
Let's make some noise.
That's hard.
For your mom's being a gangster.
My moms used to tell bitches I wasn't there when I was in the room with the next bitch. That's how real my moms keep it. You know what I mean? And you know what's crazy? Hold up, because this is some crazy shit. One day I got a bitch in the room, so another bitch knock at the door.
Hold on,
I ain't gonna
stop. When you say that was sexual harassment.
It's real, but check it out. So my mom said, this brown skin girl was knocking at you. So after she left, my mom told I wasn't there. I run to the window to see who it is. It's my P.O., nigga. My mom told I wasn't home. I had to run downstairs and all. I'm like, yo, ma, this is the work release P.O. I ain't even on parole or nothing yet.
That's crazy.
My mom's a hold it down. She'll lie for me in a motherfucking minute, boy.
That's what I'm talking about, my brother, man. Big up your mom. Wait,
let's talk about the book now. You got this
book?
Nigga. Yeah, he's got everything. He's got clothing. He's got movies. He's got music. He got books.
You gonna leave that polo bag, sir? That polo bag. I ain't gonna read the book. I'm gonna keep it on it.
The book, though.
I paid lawyers to read contracts.
The book is pretty dope.
God damn it.
The book is pretty dope.
Oh,
man.
This look mad hard, complicated.
Nah, this shit is real, son.
He's selling these?
Yo,
Rich, this the low light.
Can you get up on this?
This shit is sold out already, son.
Yo, Brooklyn niggas is looking at this like, oh my God. This is your book of life.
I want to read this shit.
This shit is crazy, man. The book is crazy.
Bury me with the Lord.
I gave E an advanced copy of the book before.
Oh, this is the real book?
Real book. That's the book.
Hold on, more to ask.
This book is right now on eBay for $1,000 because it got sold out in 4 days of the motherfucking launch. If you look on eBay right now, you see the book is there for $1,000.
Is Ralph Lauren coming at you for this, though? Because you got a lot of...
Ralph Lauren... Don't fuck with us, but they happy we promoting them the way we do. We motherfucking built
Ralph Lauren ever have a controversy like Tommy Hilfiger did?
Ralph Lauren bought 5 copies. His company bought 5 copies in the first week.
So you're good with it?
Nah, they know what it is. They don't want to acknowledge us, but they be basically like, thank you for the shit.
Not like Tommy Hilfiger.
See the nigga with the Adidas suits and the Kangos and all that. Like, it shows the evolution. The book shows the evolution of hip-hop.
Explain the box that it comes comes in.
I mean, the box that I gave you was basically the mailing box. When you get it posted to you, it comes in a package, brown box with a polo teddy bear on the front with an inscription and all that. You know what I mean? But it tells a lot of the story, mostly about where the culture is now. This book is based about how it influenced the globe. You know what I mean? From all these different countries, all these different nationalities and all that. Yeah.
Son, like, you know, there's a guy Burberry is suing right now.
Look at those pictures.
There's a guy, Burberry Perry. It's an artist. And Burberry sued him. Oh, yeah, shit. So, like, you can't get over. You can't. Like, I mean, you know, y'all been doing this for so long that they probably, like, fuck that. But right now, if y'all was to start that, like, that's what companies are doing. And you even got a Gucci tattoo. Like,
oh, yeah.
What's that about?
I mean, my name
is confusing.
Be before I fuck with the polo, my name was Gucci and Brown.
You was the first Gucci man?
Nah.
Holy shit.
When I did my first bid, I went through jail like at 16 years old with a pair of Gucci sneakers on. Y'all can't imagine the kind of hell I saw. And how it is to hold my Gucci sneakers the whole time. And I was like 130 pounds.
This is the time when niggas were saying,
yeah, this
what
was
size
real.
You wear?
And in Miami, yeah, but, it was MCM too.
You was saying,
go through MCM.
A pair of Gucci sneakers on Rikers Island was like wearing a diamond around your neck, son.
Right.
Like, for real, the Gucci sneakers was, even on the street, they was the realest things you could get.
Yeah.
Gucci sneaker was no different than the big motherfucking gold chain on your neck. That's how valuable they was, because you wasn't finding them shits on your corner store or in your flea market. You had to go to Saks Fifth Avenue, Macy's. You had to go to these high-end spots and figure out how to get that shit out of there, son.
Man, this
and
is,
Gucci
this is,
sneakers back then was $300, $150, shit like that.
I think that book is crazy right there.
This is a dope book, man. I wish I read books. I don't read books, but I'm going to look at the pictures. That's dope.
Nah, you good.
That's gangster.
Man,
like, I keep it 100. I don't read books. But, you know, I want to be smart.
The pictures tell a thousand words. You don't got to read nothing.
Man, so, look, shout out everything you're doing, man, so everybody know before we get up out of here.
I'm living this shit, man. I'm living hip hop, man. I'm going to be here forever. My low life culture movement is forever.
Big the niggas up. I am now low life.
Everybody, man. Oh, you heard that?
Yeah, I am now
motherfucking. Let me tell you some crazy shit about him saying that.
Right.
To me, the low life culture represents something that is gonna solidify. Like, there's no such thing as old school. We all current. We matter now. What we doing now? And that's what the low life culture has shown, because we the only movement that really was from so deep in the past and so deep in the future coming. That's never happened before. Everybody has solidified a slot and a spot for what it is. We've been the most multicultural thing, the most bilingual thing. Yo, it's like I could go on forever and say what it's going to be, but I think we all need to be this, because this is our shot for everything. This is everybody's staple and something we all use to our advantage, because this is something we live. Like, I fuck with E, right? Come out here all the time.
Nah,
fuck with you
family.
All the time, right?
That's my family.
Heck, fuck with you all the time.
My brother.
All the time. And because you know why? Niggas live it. I tell everybody, live it or leave it alone. I fuck with the niggas that live it, because... I don't worry about nothing, because all we worried about is living this culture, being this culture, pushing the culture forward, and still maintaining ourselves and whatever is supplied to our family and what it is. But there's nothing fake about it. We serious about living it, and that's why we prosper. That's the only reason we prosper, and that's the only reason we last. Niggas going on 50. I'm going on 50.
I'm 41. I'm 41. I'm honest. I'm 41.
I don't need none of that.
You ain't got
my shit is serious.
Sonny was here. He's like,
I might have to sign up if necessary, but nigga, 50.
Yeah,
grandfather status, son.
You got grandkids. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, man. But I'm happy because ain't no young boy gonna beat me up either. That's real shit, though.
Grandfather understanding.
My kids know him. It's not a game like that, and that's what hip hop gives us. The fountain of youth. Hip hop to me in my life and what I seen, I remember when I was a teenager and a nigga was 29, it was like he was 60. Hip hop showed me that this is the fountain of youth. Niggas stay young forever. Even though you get gray, you get niggas still be a baby.
Well, you say EFN, you say you're gray.
Yeah, I call EFN. I call EFN Kenny Rogers every time.
I stay white.
Because I see you, too.
But you know what? You know, the way you just described that, that's how we want the Drink Champs. That's how we want people to listen to Drink Champs. Like, you know, lately we've been getting a lot of upper echelon type of artists, and we wanted to, you know, showcase people like you, and even like our own crew, like, you know, Mr. Lee and Twin and Eddie, the Ass Eater. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, we want to teach people that, you know, the history and show people. But, you know, that's what we want people to know, that when you listen to Drink Champs, you're a part of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, a piece of us, stays with you. So if you want to, like, be in full character, you know, we got the 8 and 9 the clothes where you can actually get your shots. You don't actually have to drink alcohol if that's not your thing. You could put wheatgrass.
If you want,
you put wheatgrass in your shot cuts. You could do whatever. You know, get them shirts. You know, support us, because we want us to know that Drink Champs is worldwide. It's not just a thing that we're doing, you know, just to impress a couple of people. No, this is, we're trying to push the culture, like you were saying. We're trying to push the culture, push things forward. And you know what? Have a good time. Have a drink with us. Smoke, do whatever how you want to do, but let's just have fun, man.
But you know what I like? What I like that people are saying about Drink Champs right now, they're saying we the new Source Magazine, we the new evolution of the mixtapes, and me being a mixtape DJ, to me, that this is natural to me. Like I'm showcasing. And first of all, both y'all on my album, Another Time, Shameless Plug, has it a sound, mixed the whole joint, has beats on there. And you know what I'm saying? I just like this forum and this platform that we have, and it's raw. Like, there's no rules in this shit.
Right.
Have a motherfucking drink and talk reckless.
Right.
And if they don't like it, turn it off. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Let's keep doing it for 20 more years, though. That's how real it's going to be.
Oh, it's going
to
be.
And we got to make sure that's happened to where it's beneficial for us to do it for 20 more years. Remember, hip-hop was never old, and it's getting old. Not that it's getting old. Man. It's just standing the test of time.
Exactly.
And if you could stand the test of time along with it, then you can show so much, and you can be prosperous and make your children be prosperous, your family, and anybody who's focused to really do this and make it happen. It's not a game, so I'm not playing with this shit. You already know, so I'm not playing with this.
So, Mr. Lee, you got something to say before we get up out of here? Come on. Talk to the people.
And you know, we like it. We like it. Keep listening to the show.
We like it. Yo, Twin, what's up, man? Come on, you think like you look like you've been thinking a long time.
He's been waiting for this final statement,
baby.
Give us the final statement.
You went to Vegas.
It's crazy, man.
Prostitute took care of you.
Yeah, see, Drink Champs.
Shout out to that prostitute that took care of you.
Hey, Rose, man, you already know she said she coming with a bag full of money, man. You heard?
What?
Rose,
she got a bag for you.
Yeah, she said she coming with a duffel bag, yo. I gotta save on Snapchat. You dig?
Yo, I seen her in the bathroom while a nigga was shitting. Is that correct?
Nah. Wow.
Hold up. She was in the bathroom with him. Is that the truth?
I want to see the guy. It's false.
I see the footage. It's fucking me.
No,
I like the fans, nigga.
Yes, you are the fans. That was 7 years ago, my nigga.
All right, cool. In your mind.
Man, seeing Drink Champs start from the beginning is crazy, man. Right. Seeing what it's come to be.
And you know, Kenny Anderson, right?
Yeah, from my perspective, you know, I'm 22 years old. I've seen all these men grow up on TV.
Is this your everything biography? On TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Once I saw Slime interview Fat Joe, I knew Drink Champs was going to be legendary. I knew this shit is going to have millions of subscribers. And it's going to keep coming, man.
Shout out
to
Instagram. Coming, you hype right now.
DC2WIM, born twin, born to win. Double meaning, twin.
Go ahead, yo.
2WIM, man.
Hey, twin. You're going to blow from that a lot. Yeah, you're going
to
blow from that.
I love Drink Champs. Drink Champs. Did Snoop say that listening.
To you? He said you gonna be.
I believe he did say that to me. That shit was a fucking moment for me, man.
He said he was broke.
Fuck it. I was so his weed was that good.
Yo, but how he was just you and Snoop, and it was a room full of 100 niggas.
It was a moment, man. I don't know, man. I think I heard it. I don't know.
Was this moment in your mind?
Yeah, this moment was in my mind, I think. I guess that's what that message meant when he passed me the blunt. Not everybody can say Snoop passed him a blunt, you dig?
Yo, Nori, pass me the blunt.
Snoop said I'm gonna beat somebody.
Give us all your social medias and all that.
Yeah, that's right. Thurston, shut your shit
up. We are horrible at giving out our social media.
Oh, shit.
My name is Thurston Howard III, or Victor de Jesus.
Wait, that's not your social media, though.
Jesus, that's my social media.
My name is de Jesus.
I believe that part, but what's the social media?
That's your social media?
What's your Instagram?
That's
your real name? Twitter?
It's Victor Thurston Howard de Jesus.
On your
Facebook.com. Yeah.
Jesus.
Then it's Thurston Howard III.
How can anybody find you, my nigga? That's hard.
That's easy. My son's name is Jesus de Jesus.
I'm trying to change all my social media to just air. So everybody can just look.
and, nigga.
You got
Leave
Twitter?
Me alone, and. Mm. This is it.
You got a Twitter?
My Twitter is Thurston Howell III.
Mm. Know what I mean? You got an Instagram?
Instagram is Thurston Howell III. All my shit is spelled the same. THIRSTINHOWLTHE3RD. All of my social media contacts are by that name. It's not it's not hard to find.
You got a website?
And you had the same number Thurston since 1812.
ThurstonHowell3rd.com. All my YouTube, Thurston Howell III.
You got the longest name in the world.
Nah, you know what? Let me break it down, son.
Oh, shit. We're going to break down the longest name in the world.
Yo, I taught a class today at Day College, right? On some hip hop history shit.
They had you teaching the class? What's this principal name? I need to talk
We couldn't
to
even do a We couldn't even do a live read. He's teaching class.
Nah, y'all could do live reads now because everything is established over there. So it was basically based on Thurston Howell III.
The fashion. Class was about you?
Nah.
That's very selfish.
It was based on fashion. You know I'm not a selfish person. I'm not selfish at all. But it was based around the fashion of hip hop and how it was conceived and all that and how it was brought about. So the main shit I seen was that the way shit got transformed. I'm going some Norby shit right now.
I don't know. I'm confused.
I'm broken down.
Okay,
yeah. That's what it is. Confusion.
Got weird for me.
Okay, I don't even know where he's going.
Because I even got lost. I had another drink. I'm on Drink Champ. I'm being honest.
You're Drink Champ.
That's
you
know what you got.
Shout out your shit, man. What you got
Star
going on?
Star Rocky NT. You have to say.
Wait, hold on.
Mr. Lee's interruptions of him could be.
Say it one more time. I want the people to get you.
Just come side.
Star Rock,
Star Rock ENT is Star Rock Clothing. Right. StarRockClothing.com. You already know.
Okay.
And I don't even have one of your shirts.
And what? And you know what we want to do?
We're
going to try
you.
To do, this is for the people, man. This is for the people, for real. We're going to try to do a Drink Champs barbecue.
Wow. We are going to do it.
Around August 25th, correct?
In Miami,
In Miami, at the 8 and 9 store.
Yeah, but we got to work out the details before we completely
Yeah, but it. Just so y'all know, August 25th, so y'all hit us up for the details. We're going to have an email. We're going to have a way that you guys can come out here and get like a special, like, Drink Champs. And we're going to all be together. Including like you know some of the guests that been on the
Thurston might be there.
Previously, of course, Thurston will be there.
Mr.
Lee,
he's but down
gonna,
the street.
We're gonna do.
Need to bring it to grandma's
inspired.
House.
Inspired.
Yo, we can't go.
You don't know about grandma. Hold on. This is crazy. I remember, Nori shot a video at my grandma's house.
I still ain't seen the video. It was actually a Garcia video.
Yeah, but I ain't even seen
it.
He chilling with my grandma like this.
It
wasn't the Garcia two-gun salute?
No.
It was.
We was around there for that. But I
still ain't see that. I still ain't see that. I've been feeling to see.
But, so yeah, like I said.
Hold on. That spot is
Now. It's over. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna do we're gonna have people be out here. So we're gonna be aiming for August 25th, correct? Right. August 25th, and then because after that we're going to LA.
We definitely going to LA.
August 27th.
Yep. And I'll be there the 26th.
I'm okay, early. Yeah, I'm early. You're early, dude. So
I got family out there.
That's right. So if you guys wanted to say, interview people in LA, hit us up or hit Nakia Hicks. We got a we got our email.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, it's our publicist. But
you can hit us up at drinkchamps@gmail.com.
There you go.
Or info@crazyhood.com, but drinkchamps@gmail.com as well.
So I want to thank you, Thurston, man. You're a goddamn legend, man. This is my book.
My brother. Dang.
Yeah, you can have that book.
Okay, cool.
Hold on. Don't leave your dog hanging.
My bad. I fuck with you hard.
Go ahead.
You already know.
This is hard.
Nah, this was a book that I autographed somebody and it wasn't even them.
Oh, okay. That's hard.
But all the books are gone.
Oh, shit. That's me.
Far Rock. It wasn't even Meek when I did it.
Nigga. I don't feel bad.
Nah, he the truth though. He the truth. He a legend and all that, but it wasn't even him. But he still deserved this book. So if we run into him, give him this book, and I'm gonna give you a new one.
Okay,
they sold out.
I'll give you a new one.
No, but I'm gonna give you this book.
You sure.
So just so you could peep it, you know what I mean. But as soon as I get the next batch, I'll give you a fresh one.
Good deal. I'll be high though. So remember.
And I don't even got a book. This is the only book in existence. They on eBay. eBay for $1,000. Look for yourself.
So if you got it for $1,000, go on eBay.
You had to sell it. Hold on. You had to sell it for $1,000.
Why don't you? He told me, sell my book. I said, I'm not paying my book.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, no more.
I got hip-hop memorabilia. This is going right in there.
Nah, but I'm going to have to reprint it. Just sell. If you can get $1,000, get $1,000. Let's go out, have some fun.
For some reason.
And I'll give you another one.
Is Tony Touch in here? I feel like Tony Touch is in here somewhere.
Nah, he's not in there. Nah, but Tony's my brother, man. He's right. Another one that represents our flag, our body.
And what other rappers before we get out of here is like as like low life or
Sadat X?
Sean Price.
Yeah.
Been my brother since before any of this shit happened.
You said,
Sadat is my brother. You know, Sadat has been a major component to our low life existence globally.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Back in the days with Brand Nubian.
Right. No, from the 2000 era. He always represented the culture without representing low life, but within the 2000 era, he represented low life.
Because y'all was murdering niggas at one point, right? That's true, right?
We were surviving. Nah, but we were surviving.
That's right.
Like we don't acknowledge ignorance though. Yeah. The ignorant shit is real. So we can't glorify that at all.
7 years.
Just to know that because
let's
you know
change
what?
The subject. I'm uncomfortable.
We take shots. We don't shoot.
We ain't take one shot tonight. I ain't see Nori take a shot. I ain't see you take a shot. I ain't see nobody take a shot.
That's right.
You gotta avoid the danger.
You drank all the fucking.
Nah, I got another bottle. Remember, you gave me a bottle.
Ooh. He brought your bottle. You didn't bring his book. What's going on here?
I gave him a bottle. And
here.
I just gave you a book.
That's right. I'm gonna put that. Yo, Galito, here. You put that out. I'm gonna be very careful with that. All right, so we're gonna take it out of here, man. Drink chance.
Nah,
yo,
we
all
get our shots yet.
Yeah, y'all can get your shots, man. I gotta go to the doctor in the morning. I can't do that.
All right, make some noise.
Let's go.
We're gonna take these shots.
You take the shots though, hell yeah.
Nah, you take the shot. So we take a shot after the breaker.